Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Cool. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me again.
One of our most popular guests. Unsurprisingly.
You haven't been on it.
Real. It's about every time I hear the word popular, I think of that scene in Bridesmaids.
You haven't been on in 6 months.
No, I have not. A little update, a little 6 month update, huh?
It's crazy podcast time. It goes by so fast. I mean, you think you've had on a guest super recently, but it's actually been much longer than it has been.
Yeah.
How was your workout today?
It was great.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly work out for like, man, I feel like it, mentally it's nice. I feel like I can go throughout the day. If I don't work out in the morning, I just have a really shitty day. I try to work out as like every morning if I can.
Do you do everything your trainer says to do? Or sometimes are you like, I don't want to do this?
No, I pretty much do everything that he says. There's times where like I'm still doing my elbow from the accident. So there's times where I like physically cannot go anymore in my right arm. So we have to just like figure out an alternative because my arm is still...
Do you have lift days? Is it a push day, a pull day? Are we doing cardio?
It's kind of like a full body pretty much every day, except for like when we start doing weightlifting, then he'll have me work on like shoulders and back one day or legs one day or chest one day.
Are you going into a public gym or a private gym?
Private gym.
Are there other like influencers who are working out there? No. You have the whole place to yourself?
Well, it's like a little studio. It's not like a whole gym. So he turned his apartment into a gym. Bottom floor is like a gym. You haven't seen it on like Snapchat.
I could tell that it's someone's like.
Oh yeah, no, it's someone's apartment.
Oh,
it's like a studio apartment in Hollywood.
Damn, are the neighbors just like underneath?
Here at the bottom floor. Oh,
that's the move.
So I'm sure he got that for a reason. Bottom floor.
Is he in great shape?
A great shape. Yeah,
that's good.
Is he there when you're working out?
Oh yeah. Yeah, okay, it's just me and him every day.
Okay, so you don't like have to self-motivate. He's there telling you what to do.
I have to have a trainer. If I don't have a trainer, I won't work out ever. I'll get 300 pounds and I just won't care.
You wouldn't just go to David's house at 10 a.m. and start picking stuff up.
I can't work out by myself. I need someone telling me what to do.
Accountability.
Yeah, I'm like a lost puppy when it comes to like working. I just don't know. And you know what? I just don't care either. You know what I mean? I don't care to go to the gym and work out by myself.
You ever get pissed off and you're just like, hey, how about I don't do that?
No, I just push. I really just try to push because it.
Good for you.
I'm sure it's annoying. Yeah, I'm sure he has to, like, he tells me about like other annoying clients he has to deal. So I just want to not be that annoying client.
And, yeah.
Like, just like get the shit done because he's working just as much as I'm like.
Have you ever had an out of shape trainer?
They might look out of shape, but they're very strong.
Correct. I think I've had some in the past where like I've worked at like the big chains, like LA Fitness, 24-hour fitness. And they kind of hire everybody as a way to create a community of getting healthy. But I had a trainer one time where I'm like, you don't have the body that I want. Like I need somebody who has like the dream physique that I am striving towards.
I think that's important too. And I think like Equinox, every trainer there like has a pretty good body.
They look Sports Illustrated, right?
It also kind of represents your like gym as a whole too. You want to have like people that are like in shape when it comes to like trainers,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Because if you go in and like there's out of shape trainers, then you're not gonna like they're not gonna bring any business to you.
So yeah. It's not very motivating.
What?
It's not very motivating.
It's not very motivating. Exactly.
To say, oh well, if you work out, this is what you'll look like. And you're like
a horrible trainer. Imagine being a trainer outfit.
I think you'd be just fine. I look great, Zane.
Nobody would ever want me though, because I am not in that physique shape. That like it's like a mannequin. You look at a mannequin, and you see clothes on, you're like, damn, that looks good. You put it on you, it sucks. So you want something these people could look at and be like, okay, I do want that. It's like, you know, when you look at the shelf and there's a good food, they want to make it look as tasty as possible. If it's in some blank ass shit and it doesn't look good, you're never going to buy it.
Presentation is everything.
Exactly.
Let's talk about this necklace, Zane. I feel like you haven't taken this off.
You know what? It's because I don't have any necklaces. This is like the only one I've ever had or owned, pretty much. So I just got a Coachella and I just wear it. And it kind of looks like it's a pill, but it looks like a podcast mic.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's a pill.
Oh. My friend Emma Pills, she makes pill necklaces.
Cute.
So, but it just looks like a podcast mic to me more.
It does look like a little bit of a microphone.
I kind of like it.
What?
But I'll get over it, I feel like, in like 2 weeks. Like, I'll look and be like, I'll just take it off. I'm just wearing it because it's like, it's new.
It's fun. It's exciting.
It's exciting.
You're a jewelry guy, too.
I'm not a jewelry guy. I've had just the one single gold chain to remind me that I'm from New Jersey and there's a lot of Italians where I grew up.
That's good.
And, brings it back to my roots.
You know what I've never like been on, but I see some guys rock are just rings.
Ugh. I wish I could do rings. I just don't have pretty hands and pretty fingers to be rocking rings.
Same.
If you had a ring, people would be looking at your hands all the time. I do not want people looking at my hands ever.
What don't you like about your hands?
Just look at my nails.
Oh boy.
It's gross.
Do you bite your nails?
I'm a heavy, heavy nail biter.
You bite your nails.
I bite my nail to the core.
Yeah, I can see that. You got little nubs.
It's really gross. Like, every day I look at them and I'm like, Zane, just buy the nail polish. Just do it. Like, it's going to suck. You can't, like, when you're eating food, you can't, like lick your finger. Like, you have to watch yourself. Like, you can't rub your eyes.
Yeah, that's what we, because there's what, like a little bit of like
spiciness on it?
It's like, it's pretty much having hot pepper on your fingernails all the time.
I feel like that would taste kind of good, though. Just mix it into your sound a little bit. I feel like
we're getting some ranch going on.
It does not taste good, because not only does it taste like pepper, but it also tastes like nail polish. Ugh. So it's like a mixture of the two. Ooh. And that's the main thing. I just hate that I can't, like, I can't do any, like, I don't want to, you can't touch your fist.
Have you ever bit it down so close where it's like bled?
Matt, all the time.
But
it bleeds all the time.
I knew a kid who, like,
there's blood, there's always blood on my sheets, on my clothes.
Because you bite your nails?
My nails, yeah.
Have you ever tried to put like the bitter agent on there or something?
I have. It actually started working.
And
then I bit off. And I bite my nails again.
Are you biting all throughout the day, or do you have like a time of day where you like to bite?
Well, there gets a point where like it'll hurt, and then I'm just like, my hands hurt, like I can't touch them. And then 2 days later, I get that one little nail that's ready to be pulled off,
and you get so excited.
And I get so excited.
Can I ask you this? Do you ever like finish with your hands and start looking at your toes, and you're like, okay?
I can start getting to your toes. Never like,
but you clip your toenails.
But I'll just start like
picking them.
Yeah, I think it's like something is sticking out of your body. Like, I just want to pick at it.
Yeah,
I pick my boogers a lot. When something is like poking out of my body, I like to just pick it. Scabs, love
all day. I mean, nail biting is like a very widespread phenomenon. You're not alone in this.
You know what you should get? You know what you should get? You should get acrylics. Just get the most natural looking nails, but they're fake, because then you can't bite
them. It's going to look like I'm wearing fucking nails, though. Like, it's going to look like I'm wearing, you could tell.
They don't have like the thinnest type of acrylic, but then you'd be like, I want to get that off.
But I could, but it will, like, you'll never find natural looking nails like that. I haven't seen it yet.
I'm going to buy you what's it called? The nail polish. With the spiciness,
like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, just look up like nail biting nail polish.
Okay, I'm gonna buy it for you, and we're gonna put it on.
Sure.
But he's gonna do it once. He's gonna hate it, and then
that's the point.
I'm telling you why. Like, I can't get. But I tell myself every day I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it today. I'm gonna do it next week.
Do they make like hands that you can buy, like a fake hand that has nails on it that you can just chew on throughout the day? Like, there's got to be a replacement for this.
I mean, what's a better convenience than right here?
Just wear gloves.
I tried gloves one day. I couldn't do it. You can't use your phone.
Yeah,
they're a lot, you know. But also, I'm just coming up with excuses, too.
You chew gum? What if you were chewing gum? Because then it's like...
I do chew gum, but, like, gum does not, like...
Satisfy the urge?
I don't really eat gum.
I used to be all about gum when I was young, and I don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I like mint.
I don't know what it is about gum. I am not about it anymore.
I do. I'm in full agreement. When you're like in high school, you got to have gum on you.
Yeah.
Always. High school, college, you got to have. Now I like, ugh. I'd rather
like
a mint.
I don't like talking to people when I have gum in.
Yeah. I feel like I'm being rude, and it's just like a little. Yeah.
There's times where I'll just like dabble with it. You know, I'll just put it in my mouth and then. spit it out like 5 seconds later.
Why can't you know like Bubblicious gum when we were kids, like the big, just chunky,
the
cube.
One of those.
Why doesn't like
the flavor last?
Like minty places make chunky gum like that.
Chunky Bubblicious gum?
Yeah, that's
but
like
mint flavor minty though.
Yeah, but just that chunk. Give me that chunk.
Yeah,
of gum and not this like tiny little one.
You know? I know what you're saying. Yeah, the thick, it's like biting into a marshmallow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't do that.
Like the ice cube ones.
It might be just too much.
Yeah, even like strips, like Wrigley strips or whatever, that sometimes is a little bit too much. I have to like cut them in half because then, but I don't
because know. The mint is so overwhelming.
You used to be the person who would give people half a gum.
Oh, God. Who are you? Get real.
There was a lot of people in my high school that were the half gummers. I'm like, gum is not that expensive. Like, come on.
I remember the first time one of my dad's friends offered me 2 pieces of gum at once, and I was like, that's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Yeah, it's right. Yes, exactly. You're like, damn, bro.
Ubers all the time, they have full packs of gum. They give you if Ubers can do it and Lyft drivers can do it, then you can.
And if it's gum where it's being pushed out of like the little like aluminum thing, that's status right there. Like someone, because you know, like if it's Orbit, you just see all of them. Yeah. Okay, it seems like it's pretty easy to share. But when you are like reminded about each one, it's like pills. You're like, take it. I'm giving you
each have the individual slot, like that big pack. That big pack, man, that was smart that they did that.
Oh, yeah.
That like giant fat pack that you open it up.
Oh, it's
like,
got a bifold wallet? Cabinet. Yeah.
That one, dude, I see it everywhere.
The bifold wallet.
Everybody loves those, yeah.
If I do have gum now, I always make it a point to offer 2 pieces of Tic Tacs, mints, whatever.
You offer 2 pieces of gum?
Always.
Because
when that guy made such an impact on me, because it used to be, people would rip it in half. They'd give you one, but they'd kind of wince and like, oh, I only have 3 pieces left. You give someone 2 pieces of gum, they'll remember that shirt for the rest of their lives.
Why doesn't Altoid, though, make a soundproof can? Because the thing about Altoids, when you walk around and everyone just hears it clink, 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 clink.
It's like, damn. What's like, you want to announce the whole world that you got Altoids and now you got to give a piece to every single person in the room? Like, come on.
Yeah.
They should make a whole campaign about that. Like,
Yes. I mean, they put that piece of paper and thinking it's going to work.
What
and it's just
that paper?
It's like rolling paper. It's like you can like roll a joint like after it.
But what's the need? Like, what is it? A patch of yogurt? Like, what's that thing for?
But it can't be that like environmentally friendly, like, right?
What is it? A PR package?
Mm-mm.
Like, just get rid of it. You'll save so much money without having to print those fucking papers.
A little foam liner. Just a little bit of foam all around on the inside. Shake it.
Yeah,
that's a commercial.
That's a whole thing, right?
That's a good idea. Altoid sours, though, they need to bring back. Do you remember those that were big in like the 2000s? Altoid sours.
Yes. Oh, I thought those are icebreakers.
Well, icebreakers, like the liquid ice? No, okay.
Icebreakers.
Yes, those are the best. Oh, I have in my car.
I'll get like stomach aches because I'd eat so much.
The flavor in those is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because it tastes like food. It's not a mint. This is a whole meal.
Vitamin. It's a vitamin for sure. I'll pop it in like it was a Lexapro. I was like, I'm good for the hour, good for 2 hours. It was nice.
Have you ever done the thing where you've gone into a dark room and you can like bite it and it like sparks?
Gum?
Icebreakers.
There was
like the
TikTok
ones you have.
Yeah.
If you go into a dark room and like if you bite it in a certain way, it like emits like a green spark.
If you're
that doesn't sound very healthy for you.
I agree.
Well, it's because there's I don't think it's about the ingredients, but there's like static electricity in it.
There shouldn't be static electricity in your gum.
David made a TikTok about this. He put Taylor in the movie theater room. It was pitch black. Taylor bit down on an Altoid and the thing like flashed green, and then Hank Green stitched it and like explained what was happening.
Oh.
Because thank you, Hank Green.
Yeah, pretty sick.
Wow, okay.
You've never tried it?
No.
Okay, we'll do it today.
I thought, I don't know if I've seen that video or not, but.
And then we can do Bloody Mary after it.
I will never do that.
Oh, and then Icebreaker's liquid ice.
Is it liquid? Is it ice? It's Icebreaker's liquid ice. You never did Bloody Mary as a kid?
I'm still too scared to do it.
I did it once, and I didn't complete it because I was like really scared.
I
wouldn't do it now.
How many times do you have to?
I just think it's silly to do it now.
You would do it?
No, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, me, I wouldn't do it.
I just don't think it's... Why bring that energy?
Yeah, it's...
The horror stories I've heard with like Ouija boards is insane. Like people's actual stories, and like I believe them. Like I don't think people would make... Some people would, but like I...
Yeah.
Half the people would not make shit up. I feel like they're really into spirits and shit. I really believe in that. I think if you really invite them and let them in and want them to cause chaos in your life, I think they will.
I agree. You've never seen a psychic, right?
I've seen psychics. I've like had phone calls with psychics.
Oh.
have I thought about it?
Did any of the stuff that they said come true?
Not really, no.
No. Okay. I'm just so surprised how they're able to like afford the damn real estate.
Same. But have you ever noticed they're not actually in prime real estate? It's like a closet on a main street. If you ever look in to a place that says psychic, the wall is 6 inches from the front of the door. They took over like the janitor's closet of the subway next door. They're not paying that much in rent, but I have no clue how these people are in business.
But they're charging. It's a lot of money to see a psychic.
Is it?
Yeah.
Like 200 bucks?
It could cost between like 60 to 200 bucks.
But you want to be in like an area where there's like the wealthy kind of housewives who are on a bunch of Klonopin coming in. It's just giving cash just to be told
what they want to hear.
Good things are coming
there. I would drive out to Mount every day as a psychic just to be in that area because
you're just telling rich women what they want to hear.
Exactly. Leo was telling me there's a psychic she saw that is out in Malibu, and she said that it was like the most insane experience she's ever had.
Your beachfront property is fine. You don't need to worry about that.
Your kids love you. Your kids are going to come back. They're not going to continue to be terrible people. Your kids are going to grow up to be great.
Oh, they're just those psychics just bring up real estate.
Yeah.
Beach, right? Oh, no. You're definitely in the hills.
If I had a beachfront property, I think I would need to see a psychic just to tell me that there is going to be like incoming tide that is going to wipe away my home.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, celebrates every effort you make to improve how you feel and how you live. Even a small step can make a big difference. And if you've been working on your mental health or if you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you.
And, you know, sometimes you can get down, life can get a little overwhelming, it can affect your life, and it's helpful to talk to a therapist. If you're not sure how to get started, Talkspace has made it easy to find the therapist that you'll like. It's convenient to meet online, at home, where you're most comfortable. Talkspace has made a huge difference in so many lives and can do the same for you.
Do you think seeing a therapist or a psychiatrist would be helpful, but you don't have the time to actually find one or meet up with them or even afford one? Try Talkspace. By doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help you want easy, accessible, and affordable. At Talkspace.com, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. It's incredibly convenient to have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your own home. There's no need to commute to appointments, miss time at work, or line up childcare in order to attend sessions. It's mental health care made easy.
Talkspace also lets you send messages to your therapist so you don't have to wait for your next session. And therapy can help you shift your perspective, find tools to cope in difficult times, and be a guiding light. Talkspace is secure and private using the latest end-to-end bank-grade encryption technology to store client information and complying with the latest HIPAA regulations. Talkspace is affordable and in-network with most major insurers. So, to celebrate May, Mental Health Awareness Month, and to celebrate every step you take toward a better, richer, fuller life, Talkspace is offering every listener of this podcast, Hoot and a Half, $100 off your first month with Talkspace.
Just go to Talkspace.com/HH to match with a licensed therapist today. Go to Talkspace.com/HH to get $100 off your first month and to show your support for the show. That is Talkspace.com/HH.
And now back to the episode.
Do you see yourself as like a beach guy? Like if you had the money, would you have it like right there on the beach, or are you more into a view?
Neither.
Or you just want like a pretty just home inside.
I think a pretty home, I think, is much more important than having a view. Dude, I've seen the worst houses with a view, and people will buy them just because of the view. I was like, that's crazy to me.
Yes.
Like, don't you want to buy a house for what you're putting the money into? Having a view is not money. Like, that's crazy.
I agree.
You're buying a house. Make sure that house is exactly what you're paying for.
I agree.
You know, it's so silly to me. Like, beach, I guess it makes sense because it's your backyard, but you'd have to be on the fucking beach. Like, if you're anywhere before that, no, not worth it. Like, you're going to be by the beach, you got to be on the beach.
And if you have a view, you're also so far from civilization. Like, you can't just, like, walk down the street to Walgreens if you're...
It's 20 minutes to get anywhere.
You can't invite people over and host a party. Yeah. It's like there's nowhere to park, especially when you're in those windy part of the hills.
And there's no cell phone signal to get out of the hills. I went to a party recently, and there, even on his Wi-Fi, you could not get an Uber or a Lyft up to his house.
But for some reason, every celebrity and rich person wants to live up there. I'm like, that is insane.
I would never. You couldn't pay me to live in the hills.
Dude, Heath and I were like, you know, back like 4 or 5 years ago, and we were like, oh my God, we should live in the hills. It's like, yeah, that's where it is.
Yeah.
And everywhere we were looking, they were so expensive. And it was the shittiest houses with no view and no parking. It's like, it's just because it's in the hills.
Yeah.
And they're selling to you as Jimmy Kimmel lives right down the street. It's like, who gives a shit? You're never going to see him anyways.
And the architecture in LA is all over the place. There are some of the most hideous houses out here that these people have built.
Like, yes.
And some look cool, some look great, but there was no, like, cohesion to, like, what L.A. style art. I mean, you see, like, Mediterranean stuff. You see all, like, the really, truly, like, expensive stuff. But some people just, like, drew the houses themselves and, like, yeah, built it the way they wanted to.
But house hunting out here is not fun at all. Like, looking at houses to rent, to buy, not fun. It's not exciting. But go out anywhere else. Chicago, South Carolina, anywhere like that,
yeah,
with the budget that's out here.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even be able to pick a place because there'd be so much to choose from, and you would like about 15, 20 houses, and you just couldn't even make a decision.
Do you ever go on Zillow and just look like Wisconsin, and you're just like,
yes, all the time.
Oh, my God.
It makes me hate being here, like seeing all what you can get out anywhere else.
Mike, is the housing market going to collapse?
Thanks for asking, Matt.
I've been told.
Well, it's a tough balance. No one really knows, but it should. Because everything is, the dominoes are what?
I want it to.
Yeah, and everyone wants it to. But the thing that's different about this time is that when it does collapse, there's these like big investors like BlackRock and other big banks that are ready to buy the houses in cash no matter what. We're not competing with other people anymore. You're competing with like
banks.
The system wants us all to rent for the rest of our lives.
Yes, that's fucked.
That's how it's all structured.
But it's not the American dream.
I know.
That's how they sell it, but... Why is every single bank and big farm, they're buying everything. They buy everything, so we never own anything.
Yeah.
So are people buying houses that they cannot afford?
I mean, yeah, that's what's happening. That's what happened in 2008.
What was the movie we watched?
Big Short.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can see that happening again.
It's happening right now.
Yeah.
But they're not giving out loans to people who can't afford them like they used to, right?
No, but they just came out with this new thing that makes absolutely no sense. If you have a good credit score and you apply to get a mortgage, you now will pay more to cover people who have lower credit scores for them to get a loan for their mortgage.
That's becoming a thing. I just asked my financial advisor. He said it's going to push.
It's in fucking sane, dude. With
good credit score, they're being punished.
It doesn't make any sense.
So meaning they get, a higher interest rate?
Yeah, if you have a good credit score now and you go apply for a loan and let's say it's like 6%, it's going to be 7%. And they'll say like, oh, well, it's only $40 a month for the next 30 years. And you're like, okay, for $40 a month, okay, I'm helping other people. But that's like $15,000 over the course of the loan because you have a good credit score. The whole thing is fucked.
Shit. Have you ever had a bad credit score?
I have.
Really?
And I got out of it. Yeah, no, I was in a shithole for a good like 5 years of my life.
What time of your life? Was it back in the Vine days?
Just bills that I didn't know were not being paid.
Oh, shit.
Like, just very hidden stuff that I had no idea. Like, if it doesn't, like, if I'm not seeing it in front of my face, like, now that we have our phones, we can tell. But, like, back then, if you were, like, not something, you're missing something in the mail or it wasn't getting to you, that, like, they were
was still charging. Was it on the poor level or was it, like, what's the levels of credit?
I mean, my credit score was down to, like, 530.
Ooh, that's not good. Below 600 is pretty bad.
Like bad. Like I wasn't able to buy. I wasn't able to get a car.
You can't
rent anything. Yep. You can't do anything with a low credit score.
Yeah. Do you remember what the bills were for? This is perfect opportunity for a true bill.
It was honestly probably for one or two.
Missed payments. Yeah.
It was like missing payments were, but I wasn't seeing it. But I was paying for everything else.
Yeah.
On time.
I didn't realize about like credit. It wasn't until like actually 5 years ago. But when I had credit cards, I didn't realize you could just like auto pay it. I thought you still had to manually go in and pay the credit card bill every time. And then when I realized it was auto pay, it took so much like stress off my mind.
But
I was like thinking I had to go in and like pay these increments
or like mail it in.
But then you set up auto pay and one time you have to like switch credit cards and just forget.
Yes, that's happened to me so many times.
So used to auto pay, you're not thinking about having to take that credit card number and plug in.
Yeah, when your credit card expires, they don't tell you, hey, your credit card. They tell you 3 months later when you go to turn on your TV and your power's off. Oh, yeah, you haven't paid your bill in 3 months.
I don't even tell you, because that's more money for everybody else.
I always have such big fears, like, is there something I'm paying for that I don't know about? Like, it's just a recurring payment, but it's not, you know, you have all of your, on your iPhone, all the subscriptions you're paying for, but you're like, but is there something else somewhere that is being pulling out money continuously?
Dude, people are dealing with this every single day. There's always these head, like, apps, dude, the amount of apps that people pay for that they have no idea that they're paying for
is probably
$1 billion.
Apple makes it so hard to cancel subscriptions that you have. You have to go into your settings, then your like profile at the top, and then click subscriptions, and then view the subscriptions.
Cool.
It's like wild. You're like your New York Times. Would you know how to cancel the New York Times?
You can't do it.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
In the app?
Oh, wait, on iPhone. Yeah, subscriptions you cancel. Mm.
Matt, I was subscribed to, you remember Full Screen?
Yes.
Okay, remember the little app that they had where they had shows?
Yo 90?
Okay, so one time I downloaded it and I had to pay monthly just so I can watch an episode that I was on, right? I was able to watch. I had to download. So I paid for the monthly, and then all of a sudden, like 7 months later, deleted. There's no way for me to cancel my subscription. So it was charging me $12 every single month. And there was no way. Back then, there was no way to cancel my subscription unless you either called your credit card company or you called Full Screen. But like it was just gone. But they were still taking my money, which is insane. Oh. Like, I don't understand how that's illegal.
Yeah.
So I have to delete an app, but still take payments.
Mm.
Isn't that a giant fucking lawsuit?
There's a lot of big scams in America. We got to rise up. Fight back, people. Rise up.
How much do you pay in iCloud subscription a month?
I pay a lot. I pay $12 a month.
I pay $10 for the 2 terabyte.
Yeah.
I think mine's 12.
I definitely pay something.
And I pay for Google, like Google Workspace. The subscriptions is what it's. You're cooked for the rest of your life. Imagine you just took away Gmail, took away like your iPhone, AT&T, whatever. We're fucked. We're all fucked.
He talked about all the time how like, it's totally possible for them to shut down the grid. It's so scary that like they get to shut down
the grid. Yeah, but they don't want to. They want the money. If they shut down the grid, they're not getting paid. So they're not going to shut down the grid. They're just going to make us keep paying more and more.
Yeah. It just kind of scary to think about.
This is why I'm going to run for president. I'll get all the insider information
Yeah, you got my vote.
Cool.
What's going to be your policies?
What's your platform?
Let's see. Well, name a topic. I'll tell you my take on it.
Are we running for LA?
No, I'm running for president of the United States. Which I think I could get.
How can we make homes more affordable for people to buy?
There's I don't know the specific policies, but I'm sure there's a way to make a law that says if you're a company that makes over a certain amount of money, you're not allowed to buy X amount of homes. Like, there has to be a limit for how much a company can own homes.
I like that.
There has to be also, I mean, the biggest thing I would do is, there's discussions about this, but the military budget that we have is fucking insane.
Matt,
do you know how much we spend?
Okay, look, before you continue that, I want to add to that. We were just looking at goggles that like...
Night vision goggles.
Night vision goggles, right?
Heath bought some.
Heath bought night vision goggles. I don't know. I don't know which ones he got, but we were just looking at night vision goggles on Google.
Yeah.
They go between like $20,000 to $110,000. And if we're looking at the military, they probably have the most expensive.
Yeah.
And they're buying hundreds of thousands.
$110,000
for one pair.
Oh, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When I saw that number, immediately I was like, oh my God, the military. But like, just imagine how much everything costs.
We spend more. The U.S. military spends more than I think it's the next 29 countries spend on their military combined. So it's the U.S. spends like X amount of $X trillion a year. And then it's like Russia, China, Japan, France, England, like all of their military budgets combined is less than we spend on our military.
That's insane.
And teachers get paid dick. They don't get paid anything. So basically what I would do is take the money.
Dicks?
No.
Oh, thank God.
That's mine. That would be my big platform policy is take the money. Like, and this is a quote I like a lot is, you know, and people say, well, the teachers are working hard, whatever. And you know, teachers always have to buy their own supplies.
Yeah.
When was the last time you ever heard about a cop needing to go into their own budget to buy bullets?
Yeah, I mean,
you don't hear about that.
No.
Mike Sheffer for president.
Remember, like, in elementary school, you would have to, bring teachers school supplies for the classroom. Bring tissue boxes.
Yeah.
No, we don't have enough tissues for all the kids' runny noses. You get to bring tissue boxes.
Wild to me.
And they would, like, stack the tissue boxes up on the cuffies and everything.
Hey,
like,
need a couple pairs of night vision goggles for $100,000?
Sure, go ahead.
Wow, that is crazy.
So wait, but then does the military, what do they do with the stuff that's like, outdated because they got to buy new stuff? Do they just sell it like on Facebook Marketplace?
No, they just
like,
leave it. They just leave it. It's just wasted.
What?
And there was a whole thing in like, I think 2015 or something. They built like a bunch of planes that they were going to use and it cost like trillions of dollars for like 30 planes. And there was like a problem that they didn't realize and the planes just never were able to fly and the money just got spent and that was our money. We're so fucked.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they're not able to take those parts and like...
Why would they? They already got paid. That's what we got to get into. We got to get into military contracting, guys. That's what we got to do. Fuck this YouTube shit.
I've seen that movie, man.
We got to start manufacturing tanks and bullets and planes and selling it to the government. And that's how you make it.
Crazy that movie was based on a true story. The two guys were just...
Oh, wait. They were selling weapons to the military or other people's militaries? I've never seen it.
I think it's...
You know, Ana de Armas is in that film, and she didn't know English fully when she got the role. And so she was having to, like, feed lines or hear what the line is in English
saying them?
And just, like, say it right back to the camera.
Wow.
She, like, I think, like, not lied, but over-exaggerated how, like, lied on her resume going proficient in English, and she did not know it.
That's good for her, though.
Yeah. Thank you for the information.
She's still killed in that movie, so, like, I think it was worth the lie.
Mm-hmm. What other languages do you speak?
I used to speak fluently, Arabic fluently.
You can't do it anymore?
No.
You could tap in a whole new audience. Eh?
I know. It's in here though, right? So if I go take like Arabic classes, I think in about 6 months, I think I can get it all back.
What if you're in a room with two people speaking Arabic and they're going back and forth?
I could probably understand what they're saying about 10%.
Oh, you really lost it.
Yeah.
Huh.
I could pick out words, mm-hmm. but I couldn't tell you exactly what they're talking about.
Did you ever learn how to write in Arabic?
Yeah.
Can you still do it?
I had to read the Quran.
In Arabic?
Yeah.
That language is like, when I look at the writing, I'm just like, this just looks like lines.
We had to write like, just like sentences and...
Do you think, could you still read it or you don't remember how to read it either?
I can read it.
Damn.
Yeah. I can read it, but I can't understand it.
In Arabic, don't they like kind of write backwards by the word?
Yeah.
It goes this way. Yeah.
Left to right.
It's not backwards, Matt, okay?
Yeah,
American is left to right.
Okay.
And Arabic and Hebrew are right
to
left.
I get it. It's backwards.
I'm saying from the American perspective.
Yes.
Well, have we ever looked at Unfiltered to see what our biggest non-English speaking country is that listens to the podcast? So if we ever did... Like, hire somebody
to translate it?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I can look it up right now.
I'm going to guess it's either India, Philippines, for non-English speaking countries. India or the Philippines. No, dude. India, love the internet.
Philippines, I feel like...
Or it would be an English speaking country like Canada or the UK. Those are my guesses.
All right.
Let's see who our audience is here.
Geography? Yeah.
Let's see. And maybe we can do a little shout out to our people.
Wait a second. Okay. New Zealand, English.
Yes.
Ireland, English.
What's the country right?
Yes.
The country right under US is New Zealand.
Germany.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Wow, Germany. Mm-hmm. Shout out to our listeners in Hamburg.
Guten Tag. South Africa, English.
English.
So, you know.
India is second.
There you go.
So, Mr. Beast, you know, he has all these now teams who are doing active translating in all their videos.
They dub.
How much do you have to, like, pay someone to truly sit down?
It's pretty expensive, but it's so worth it for them.
I bet AI, though, you could, like, just get these AI speakers just...
I think for their videos, I think they hire people to play different characters in their videos.
Wow. Wait, he remakes the videos?
No, he doesn't remake the videos.
Them.
Dubs over them. So I think he has
the same character.
That has the same character.
Yeah, that's how they do it for
who
like...
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Do you know who does the voice of Mr. Beast in Japan?
No.
It's the person who does the voice of Naruto.
Like, he hired, like, the guy?
The girl. I think it's a girl who does it.
And obviously, he's going to do that because that's just going to...
Yeah, that's viral in itself. Like, that's a conversation piece. That's so smart.
Yeah. That guy is just...
Mr. Beast.
Yeah, it's just it's insane. Like, it's just wild.
Well,
it's
one goal. His only goal was to get as many views as possible. So yeah, that's your only goal. Like, didn't he back in the day just say Logan Paul a million times? That was one of his first videos.
His first viral video.
Wow. He just said Logan Paul for like a million times.
Like that was
first video I ever saw that, like, I was on like Facebook and it was him just doing like, he bought like $100,000 worth of scratch offs. And I watched that whole video because I was like, oh, what's he going to win? I'm just so curious.
Title and thumbnail. That's it.
Didn't he do a video once where he was like, hey, this is Mr. Beast a year from today, blah, blah, blah. I have this many subscribers. And then like a year later.
Yep.
He had like 2 million. Like, wasn't it like a crazy?
Yeah, I think he was hoping to have like 100,000, and he had like 10 million.
Yeah,
yeah, it was insane.
I took how
he's just a genius.
I know, would never want to be him. It's all like even the videos he makes where you're having all these people compete for money. I can't be around that type of energy of all these people.
It's a little dystopian.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, when he cures blind people, like, that's cool. But it's more the system that allows people to need to be in a video like that is uncomfortable.
I think he obviously understands that people like to watch that shit. Right? Yeah. Like, just look at TV. He didn't just come up with that idea.
No,
He sees what's popular on television, and then he just takes that and then runs with it.
Yeah.
I think we just see it because YouTube is more like realistic. So we just see it as like, oh, that's weird. But you go to Fear Factor, they're eating bucks for fucking $100,000.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. I think his rewards are much better.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd rather be on a Mr. Beast video than any
Fear Factor video.
yeah absolutely.
American Ninja Warrior
as a YouTuber, and then
agreed.
Also, Mr. Beast is actually also just donating a shit ton of money to correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I think he's
donating a lot of the money he makes, not a lot, sorry,
or he like invests it into the reward of what these people are competing for.
And, so, and I mean, like, people used to watch like Jerry Springer, and you don't win any money on that. You're just like, let's just have people who are, you know, terrible lives fighting each other on TV.
I feel like, though, his videos now have like shaken the ground up for what a prize really is. Like, what are we competing for? It's not just like, oh, you're gonna win $20,000 on Wheel of Fortune today. Like, let's amp up what the prize is.
I don't like talking about brand deals, but let me bring brand deals into this. It's so funny that like Mr. Beast has come up with this whole like world of like prizes, because a brand would come to us and go, hey, we want to do a giveaway. We're gonna give away like these balloons are the, and I'm just like, baby, we are in 2023. Yeah. No one wants to do anything.
Yeah.
Anything without winning some cash money or a cool fucking prize. Car, money, house. It has to be like,
or a lifetime supply of something. I've always wanted to win a lifetime supply of something. Like, people with lifetime supply of Chipotle, I'm like, that's amazing. Yeah. Like, you could always go and eat like your food. It's guaranteed every day.
Yeah,
like you get it for free. And I just would love a lifetime supply of something.
Yeah, but it's just funny that that's what like a prize should just, that's what prizes should be. It should not make people feel like they're walking off like embarrassed and just not worth it.
You don't want to win a PR package.
Exactly.
Like, we'll get you ready for Coachella weekend one. Here's a box.
Come on.
Yeah,
come
I'm on. With you.
Do you know anybody who's ever won a big giveaway?
Yeah, you won The Price is Right or whatever that show was.
Yeah, let's make a deal.
Let's make a deal.
But it wasn't a giveaway. Oh, it wasn't giveaway. Any like true strategy in it. I just got very lucky.
My mom in like the 80s won a refrigerator.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was like my family refrigerator. She won it at like she like mailed in on the radio. Only thing she's ever won in her life. And like, that was our home refrigerator.
Now you see, I would never trust those radio. Like,
even at the mall where there's like the car and you got to fill it out. I'm like, this is just a
they want your info?
Just junk mail.
That's junk mail. It's in real life junk mail. Remember the little thing you sign up for your kid to be in a fashion show at the mall?
Oh, boy. Oh, you had kids who would come back to school like the next day and they're like, I'm going to be on Disney Channel. You better watch that.
Sure.
Those fashion shows at the mall, though, were the funniest things to walk by, because I've never filled it out and then go, but like there would be times you go to the mall,
you see it,
just one happening in the moment, you're just looking at it, you're just like, this is what people,
I'd wear these fucking creeps like in the mall, like looking at 12-year-olds like, hey, you look like a model, you want to come and sign up?
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Who's taking that job to scout 12-year-olds?
But then who's gonna take that job? Other 12-year-olds? Like, you gotta have an adult.
That whole thing is so weird.
Do you think you could be a good talent scout, not for children, but if you had to scout out people for something, what would you like to scout them out for?
I don't know. Because that's like, the talent is one thing, but also you just got to see if these people are crazy people that just want the attention and just want, and then they get to set.
That, like, wants the attention.
Because yes, that's what you're selling.
Exactly. Like, seeing auditions for, like, just, like little kids that, like, get these big roles, you could really, you see in the auditions, like,
yeah.
Oh, wow, they are meant to be a star. These, like, some of these little kids.
I would love to get a reality TV audition. Like, people who want to be on Big Brother, and you're like, you're a psycho.
I would love to do that audition process for, like, reality TV.
Like, you are messy. Let's go. Let's bring them in.
The crazier, the better.
Yes.
But you have to fill up all these gaps, right? Like, yeah. You get the real sweetheart that doesn't cause any drama, but you also have to get the fucking asshole that's going to ruin everybody's lives. And then... If you are a big asshole and you do ruin people's lives in real life, in your life, get on reality TV because everyone probably hates you.
And you'll get paid.
You might as well get paid for it. But if you can't change yourself and you just can't help but be like this asshole, just
get sign them up. World. Come on, Big Brother, we need you.
Because you will find other people just like you that you can become really good friends with.
Yeah, I think I could do that. That would be fun.
What?
Like looking at the audition tapes of those who want to be on. Like, if you want to be on The Bachelor, you're a psycho. Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're desperate for attention.
It's insane.
There's not one person on there that, like, is just...
normal.
And they're all competing to be influencers. None of them, like, ever maintain the careers that they... come in on as, like, oh, I'm a nurse, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, you're going to be going back to the emergency room, helping out after you get down to the final four.
The second, maybe third season of The Bachelor.
Yes.
Genuinely, I think these were normal people that really wanted to find love, and they're having a hard time.
Yep.
After that,
it's all clout.
All clout, social media. They want to grow their Instagram. And I get it. I get it. I would do the same thing if that was my world and I watch reality TV all the time and I want to get famous. That's probably what I would do too. Get on The Bachelor.
It's so funny, the reality show people out here in LA, when they're having their first year post show, they're like, everything's just so new to them, but they think they're fucking God. Like, and then 2 or 3 years later, you're running in and they're suddenly so nice. Like, they suddenly want to be like, I should be on your pod. We should do something.
The first year, it's like,
they come in like they're the fucking president at parties. Like, oh, don't go up and talk to them. They're just like, who are you? Like, oh my God. And then years later, suddenly they're just so warm and friendly.
I mean, we've been doing this for about like 8 years. We've been doing this for like 8 years, and I feel like we've seen so many people come and go with like how they act, and then they act completely different. But we've just seen so many people do that.
Let's name some names. Who are some of these people that you guys have noticed had a big ego and then calmed down?
I don't give names.
But I would say everyone that we do know is actually pretty decent, like people,
except for. No, yeah, I have those.
You know, I don't kiss and tell.
Even back in, like, when I lived in New York, there was, you know, obviously Casey Neistat was like the big vlogger, but there was other people in New York at the time, and they were making content too. And you go to like these, you never went to like Buffer Festival?
No,
I feel like I've heard of it.
It's like an old. It used to be like a YouTube festival, and I went one year, like 2016, and there was like people there. They thought they were such hot shit because they had a YouTube channel. Next year.
Oh my God, it's so good to see you.
Oh, so you're in LA now. It's pretty great. And like, I was like, you didn't say hi to me. I tried to introduce myself a year ago, and now you know my name. So I'm like, okay.
I don't know what goes on.
You just got to be nice. Just be a nice person, no matter what. Like,
people will remember that, especially like first impressions. It's so important.
Yeah.
Especially art, it's so important.
Yeah.
I always try to be the first. Every time I meet somebody new, I always try to be nice.
Yeah.
Then the second and third time, then you can be an asshole. But you got to be nice the first time. You have to.
Would you ever do stand-up comedian?
No.
Stand-up comedy?
Absolutely not.
You don't think you could do it?
No, really. Like, that's like a nightmare to me.
Really?
Yeah, dude. Did he not see me at the roast? I just have like crazy stage fright.
I guess stage fright. Yeah,
and it's just knowing that like it happens so late in the day where it's like, oh, I have to go then do that.
Yeah,
like it's just these impending like,
oh, taking the time out of the day to come like drive to you
to
get to see you now make me laugh. It's like, that's a lot of.
But you're funny. Like, that's what you do. You're a funny guy.
But you have to, like, you have to be up there and you have to come up with, like,
a set. Yeah.
Punchline.
And know how the crowd is going to react. Like, you have so much crowd work and skill of, like, reading a room, and that takes so much time to build up that skill.
Dude, I probably get one good punchline every 3 days. Like, for me to sit there and do a punchline every 15, 20 seconds.
Yeah, but if you wrote those down every 3 days, after 2 months, you got 10 minutes.
Yeah, but the punchline is not going to make a room full of adults. Like, yeah. Full adults that don't really care for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I just, like, we were talking about this. Like, I went to my friend. He did, like, a backyard comedy show.
Yeah.
And it was, like, good comedians, but, like, not the greatest in the world. They're, like, up-and-coming comedians. And I'm just like, I could do that.
You want to?
I think I would need to figure out how to write a set, and I would probably, like, work with, like, you or Jason and write a set. Because that's the hardest thing, I think, is writing jokes.
Yes.
I can get up on stage and fucking be funny.
Not only that, you also have to memorize it. You got to memorize.
No, when you're coming up, though, you get, like, the little piece of paper, and you're like, oh, yeah, Toyota Camry, yeah.
But, like, it doesn't look good, though, when you're reading it.
Yeah.
And once you already know how a joke goes, and it's already, like, there in your head, there's something about it, though, like, my brain, it's just not as good as, like, the first time I said it.
Yeah.
And especially now said that joke, like, 10 times. I, like, don't even find it funny anymore.
Because to me, when I read my set, like, when I was doing it in the living room and I was comfortable,
yeah,
I was killing it.
Yeah.
But then as soon as I got up on that stage, your jokes, it just doesn't sound the same anymore. It just, like, you have to say it perfectly.
Yes.
In order for the joke
to be. One syllable, if you stumble, the whole thing is not funny anymore.
You'll stumble anywhere. That's it.
Yeah.
You might as well pack up shop and then restart.
and you just see someone in the crowd go,
oh my god,
like, or someone just making eye contact with someone who does not find you funny,
and they're just like,
dude, Heath and I were doing, like, a Q&A out of college, right? And we didn't realize that they mixed up people. There was people there waiting for the next act.
Oh.
And they were within the people that came to our Q&A.
I have no idea who you were.
Half the people had no idea who we were. So we're just, like, trying to be funny, answering questions, answering shit that nobody would, like, understand if they didn't know us. And just looking around, they're just like,
I think that stuff stays with me, like, going to bed. Like, I will lose sleep. You have to have that tough of a skin as a comedian to be like, I don't care, on to the next thing.
Not give a
shit. I would still just cringe the next day thinking about it.
So you don't see comedians, like, if you go to stand up and you're just like, I could do that. You don't think that in your head?
I see comedians as, wow, like, they truly have a talent and they have the balls to go up there. And
the good ones. I got to go see professional comedians. And it sucks because when you have friends out here and they're doing stand up. Props to them. Go out, do it as many times as you can. But if you invite me, I might not show up because it's not you. It's also watching other amateur comedians get up and do stand up. I cringe. And what's sad is, like, you remember all the bad
ones. This camera just went out.
No,
I think that's the other one.
But you remember all the bad ones more than you do the good ones.
Yes.
Like,
it stays with you.
I've seen some people out in LA bomb bad. Like, were you there that one night? Did you go see Hannah Pilkus did stand up and she was great?
Yeah.
But there was another guy who was, like, a drunk and his, like, all of his friends were there.
I'll
never forget that.
Because you like cringe on their behalf. Like, I've seen that, and, like, you start sweating because you're like, well, what's going
to
happen?
You just want them to do good.
Yes.
Person you see that's not, like, that great, you want them to be amazing.
Yes.
Like, you want that for them.
It's,
like,
not fun to watch them
bomb. Exactly. It's not fun at all. But, you know, there's some people that love watching people bomb.
I know. I think there's real comedians
they get off on that, which is a crazy.
Can you imagine just be like, you're finally getting good as a comedian, and then you're there at the Comedy Store, and then just, like, Dave Chappelle just, like, walks in to watch you. That type of pressure, I would just, like.
But then some people, I just feel like, just get very excited. They're like, oh my god, I mean, fuck yeah, let's do this. Like, to me, like, that's a true comedian, that's a true stand-up.
But
watching really good ones, oh my god, it's so fun.
Watching the good ones is the best.
We watched
John Mulaney.
No, we watched a little controversial, but Louis C.K.
Oh,
so amazing.
We were at the taping, good. Right?
What?
Weren't you there when we went to see that? That was the show that we went to.
Yes. The people you had before.
Oh, the openers.
Oh my God, just so good. I'm just so jealous that they had that much just
confidence
going on.
Yeah.
In their body and in their mind and in their self, where they feel like they could just entertain.
Yes. I don't think I don't go to see Louis C.K. and I'm like, I can do that. You're seeing the master.
Yeah.
But you go to like a backyard comedy show and it's like a guy who's like kind of funny. I'm like, we're all funnier than this guy.
Yeah.
But he has the balls to go up there and tell
and that takes like half the that's half the skill.
Yeah.
It's getting up there and actually doing
it's wild. Like you have to perfect like 5 minutes, a 10 minute set, 15 minute
yep,
set.
Yeah.
Doing a whole hour of just talking.
Yeah. That's a movie.
I'm saying really tough, but I think like you could do 10 minutes.
Maybe I
could. How many jokes is in 10 minutes?
I would be more of a storytelling comedian though, if I was a comedian.
I would be too. I would want to do a storytelling one.
It's right. Like about the punchline, it's just like the delivery and the moment and the thrill of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That is like funny. The story itself is funny. Yeah. I guess it's packed with punchlines, but I have to focus on like a story. I can't do just these one-liners.
But when you bomb on a storyline joke,
and people are like, no,
yeah,
it's even worse. It's because when you do those like quick jokes and nobody laughs, fine,
move on to the next one,
and you didn't build it up. But I've heard, I've heard good like 5 minute build up like storylines, and just.
And the last line is like, and there were butterflies.
The crowd goes silent. Everyone's just like, where's
the book?
Yeah, just like, oh, yeah. And you know he's been practicing that for probably the last like 3 months.
It's painful.
It's the worst also when you, as I already just have so much fear when I'm telling a story, like in halfway through the story, you're like, is this even good?
Even on the podcast, there's times where I'm just like, I don't even know if I want to say this. Funny? We have the option of cut it, which is nice. You know, all the time we'll say something and we're just like, cut it.
But
yeah.
It's funny, cut it.
But yeah.
Okay, so no stand up for the gang here.
No. Absolutely not.
But I could see us doing, I think we truly could do a good show, like on stage of us just casually talking. And if we had the stories like planned out of what we wanted to,
I think we just need certain good bullet points.
Yes.
All we need. I think that's what's important. It doesn't need to be like, we need to say this, then this, and this. And
right.
This. As long as we have like good five bullets of what we need to hit, we're really good at working off of that. But on every live, if we did a live tour for Unfiltered, the first 15 minutes of every single one is going to be just very tough for me.
Yeah.
It's getting past that. Once you're past that and you feel the energy in the room, people are that's when like it gets very, very easy for me. I'm like, because when you're comfortable, then you're able to like make better jokes. You're able to like,
are feeding off the energy rather than like being repelled.
I just want people to get their money's worth,
because
they made their whole day about coming to this. They instead of chilling right off of work and not doing anything, they paid, they got on the train, they got in the Uber to come to this.
Exactly.
And like, I just want them to get their money's worth. And that's just the big imposter syndrome.
Where the people are pre-gaming.
Yeah.
People are pre-gaming before. They're like, we got a pre-game because we're going to have some fun at this show.
Yeah.
Imagine just them walking out. And I feel like that would be a reflection on the show too.
Yeah.
If I met somebody that I loved and the meeting was just not that great, I don't know if I could go back and just like watch your stuff again. Like, I would just remember that for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something else that I'd really like worry about. Just like, would they want to come back to watch the podcast?
Yeah.
If the live show was not good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's scary. Yeah. Also, maintaining also a good sense of sobriety when you have to go perform and be your funniest self, like your loosey-goosey self, just knowing that, like, a lot of comedians just don't drink at all.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just coming, like, and that's your fear that you're dealing with, and your funniest self is when you've had a few beers with friends and stuff. But then you're doing that all night. You're just, like, become a drunk.
Exactly. And then when you're not drinking anymore, you start getting tired. You start, like, I know, like, if I have a couple drinks and then I stop drinking, I'm just,
oh yeah, I feel
tired.
It. Yeah.
I'm tired and I get anxious. I'm like, I just want to sleep. It's just, pick your poison. Pick your poison. Or take some shrooms. Do you think shrooms would help?
I think you want to take some mushrooms before you, a bright light shines on you and there's a room full of strangers looking at you.
I think a good little microdose
would help me.
Absolutely not.
I think it would help me.
Did you ever have to do like big presentations like in high school or anything? Did that like scare you?
In front of a class.
Yeah.
You know, we all had to do that though, but never like a... College too.
Were you funny though when you were doing your presentations, or you took it seriously?
No.
Oh, really?
No. The thing is, I'm not like a good
performer.
Like, performer, yeah. Like, especially like in a live crowd like that. To me, that's a live crowd.
But yeah.
Like, maybe if I was like on a Zoom call, I could probably be a little funny. You know, like if I was a Zoom presentation with the class, I could maybe. Like, yeah. I think it's like seeing everybody looking at you. Like, mm-hmm. That's, to me, that's like fucking hell. Nightmare.
Yeah. All right.
Or like, to me, acting, same thing. Acting, if there's a big giant crew in front of me and I have to act, I'm gonna be horrible. But if like you put a camera on me and there's only like two people there, like a camera guy and like Matt, if with a film slot, I could be a pretty good actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When there's not a lot of people that I feel like I'm performing for.
I'm always jealous of actors how like much time they have to really prep for their role. Like they get booked on the project. Now you have 4 or 5 months to get in the best shape of your life, sit down with your lines every day, rehearse, and then you, by the moment you show up, it's perfect. Every little acting project or sketch thing, it's always like we're doing it within 24 hours. Yeah. We're just looking at scripts, saying shit
but
to
then
the camera.
They're not getting top A-list acting.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
And but... so it's like, but I still think those actors are good, but it's still a really hard job. You're memorizing a whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
And you want to be very simple on set, because I feel like just like A-list actors, just like influencers, if you're hard to work with, if you don't remember your lines, if you're just like, you're not making anybody's life easier, why would they want you in the next movie?
Yeah.
We're going to just find another Brad Pitt.
Yeah, like, the guy who's easy to work with.
There's 20 to 40 A-list actors that you can easily get that's going to be better than the next person.
And it's wild as an actor, you never know what cut they're going to take too, exactly. Of you. Like, your worst take could actually be what they include.
Why do people always take my worst acting takes? But I never film for anybody. We'll film it like five times, and I know they got the worst one, because like I know, like I'll act it out. I'm just like, all right, that was my worst one. Thank God we're doing four more.
Yeah,
and they all use the worst one, and I sometimes I feel like they're trying to
sabotage you.
No way. I was like, let me see the other ones. I'll see the other ones. Like, that one's so much better. And they're just like, we really like this one. I'm like, you must like bad acting, because that was the worst scene I've ever done.
Yeah, you gotta look out for yourself. That's why it's good to control your own. That's why YouTube is the way to
Dustin
do it.
Hoffman was notorious though for like driving directors crazy, where he'd be like, I need to come to the editing room and like sit there and go through all this takes and being like, nope, this one, not that one. And they'd be like, yo, dude, it's just a scene. You did great in all of them. But he took his craft so seriously, and just to the point where you get a little neurotic about it. Yeah, that's you.
I respect that.
The Dustin Hoffman.
Absolutely. No, you want your best self out there. That you want to make sure that it's the best. I respect that. But if a room full of people say one scene is better than another, and I think the other one is better, you got to listen to the room full of people.
You like editing yourself, though. Like, you can look at a lot of clips of yourself and be like, which is the one? I'm very like, I don't, if I know there's six more of me doing this, I don't want to look at it.
But I'm really good at looking at other people's, like,
yes.
Like, if I had to edit, like, a skit, I'd be really good at grabbing exactly what's the best scene and what's the best acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm not good.
Yeah,
I'm a good actor. I feel like we're in such a, like, imagine we were all amazing actors, right? I feel like the potential for us is just never end. Like we I feel like we could easily get shit.
But it's so strange because we're
really good.
Our identities online are so bound to like our true self. It's weird us playing people who aren't ourselves. It's just
you think producers or directors, you think they would, if they saw too much of your true self online, they wouldn't want you acting in.
I do think that that's why, like, actors sometimes, like, back in the 90s and stuff, like Johnny Depp or whatever, once they go on this, they come in, like, they're really cool, and they're just, like, kind of quiet. And,
yeah.
Then they can go and act, because you're like, okay, well, this guy's really good at acting. But if they know that you're just, like, this silly, goofy guy, and then you're, like, playing, you know, Ryan Gosling in The Notebook, but it's, like, Zayn Hijazi, they're like, come on.
Back then, I think, I feel like that would have been more weird, but today, I think it's so acceptable. People love seeing personalities, especially in, like, actors.
Yeah.
If you see, like, personalities, like, dude, was that guy from, not Stranger Things, one of, like, in Riverdale or something, Riverdale?
Yeah.
There's a video of him, like, playing with his baby and just, like, being all weird, and people love to eat that shit up.
Yeah.
They don't see that. They never see that outside of, like,
It's a good, yeah, it's a good position to be in. If I were an actor, though, I don't think I would like to play, like, too much characters. I would just like to be, like, a Jason Bateman, where you're just kind of the same thing in everything.
It makes your life easier. Yeah. Yeah. You're able to perfect your, that type of acting.
Yeah.
There's so many actors like that who, like, kind of play the same thing. Like, or, like, yeah. Stiller's always playing Ben Stiller.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah,
I think they're just like kind of being themselves at the end of the day. I think themselves are the best.
Yeah, there's characters. A lot of actors that like that's not the character you're watching. The like Will Smith is Will Smith in every movie.
Exactly, and usually I feel like comedian like people in the comedy space they stick to their own like they stick to one character, but like really like you know like Margot Robbie's like obviously they're not like comedians, but they can fucking switch up at any point.
Yeah.
There's like, yeah. Well, Zane, thank you so much for having us on. Zane Hijazi, ladies and gentlemen, my dear friend, co-host, and roommate. Love you, buddy.
Arigato gozaimasu.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.